Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to this program and to AFR. If you want to send us an email, you need to stop and ask yourself, is it positive and encouraging? And here's the email address. If so, comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. If it's not positive and encouraging, you need to just ditch it, okay, because I don't want to read it. And Steve don't want to read it. Wesley, you want to read it, Wesley?
No, you don't.
You want to read negative?
I don't.
Stuff?
Now, where do we fall on constructive criticism?
I don't.
We don't fall on. No. Okay, that's all I need to know.
That's right. I fall. Okay. I fall away from it. All right. Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. And we thank you. If you want to send us an email, comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net is the email address. Okay, so Tony Perkins joins us now. Tony's president of the Family Research Council, and he is really paying close attention to what's happening in Washington, D.C. relative to our relationship to Israel. And I get Tony's emails. Tony, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. And I guess people can just go ahead and send those negative emails to me. I'll take them.
Go for it.
FRC.org. Go ahead and send them in.
So if you got anything negative and discouraging to say, folks, and you want to address that to Tim, my assistant, Tony Perkins, would be glad to receive those and read them each line by line.
Tony, does that mean that you're preparing for what you're about to talk about?
I'm prepared to talk with Tim. That's what I'm prepared for.
So, Tony, are you in Baton Rouge or D.C. today?
I'm in D.C. Okay. Been right here in Washington, D.C., the belly of the beast.
I got you. All right. Well, Tony, what's going on with you know Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and Mike's under a lot of pressure right now, obviously. Well, every Speaker of the House is always under a lot of pressure. But, I mean, what kind of support are we going to give, we the United States Congress, going to give Israel?
Well, I actually spoke with Mike several times over the weekend regarding this issue, and so they worked last night in developing a package moving forward. You know, the Senate, first off, one of the first acts he did as Speaker back in October was to send over a funding bill for Israel to the Senate, which Chuck Schumer has sat on for over 4 months. They sent a second bill over. That's still being set on, that Schumer will not schedule a vote. So the Senate sent over this, you know, the supplemental that includes Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel.
Sure it does.
There's concern regarding the Ukraine funding, although it does have merit from a standpoint of looking where Putin is going and what he's doing and how that could draw the United States into a war in Europe if he rolls beyond Ukraine and into a NATO country. But that apart, that aside, so the Speaker has put forward funding bills separating those. Those are going to come up this week. So he's trying to get funding to Israel, especially in light of the vacillation, and I'm using that in a trying to be as charitable as I can to the Biden administration toward Israel. We want to send a very strong message that we stand with and support Israel.
Hey, Tony, Steve Jordahl here. When Donald Trump was in office, we keep hearing this juxtaposition. If you're listening to Donald Trump, this wouldn't have happened on my watch, and now the Biden administration is weak. We've seen the weakness of the Biden administration's foreign policy. But is it a risk if you had someone like Donald Trump in there? Would that have, I mean, it's kind of you're on a razor's edge, because yes, they might not have launched it, but if they had launched it with someone like Donald Trump in office, maybe it would have escalated.
Launched
quicker.
What?
The missile launch toward from Iran towards Israel. I'm talking about that.
Right.
The administration's response to that.
So peace through strength was the motto of Ronald Reagan, and that's actually kind of a biblical approach. You know, peace if you have strength, and of course we understand that strength comes from an underlying foundation of moral strength, and from that you can build your military strength. And there's this sense of, I don't want to mess with you in the international community. There had been a revival of that, to speak of, not to use that in a spiritual term, but to use that vernacular, that there had been a regaining of that in the international community when Trump was president. That was completely lost systematically by the Biden administration. Here, I'll tell you what I believe prompted, and I think this is backed up by the facts, what prompted Iran to take these steps against Israel in this unprecedented attack of 331 drones, missiles, surface-to-surface missiles, was the United States, in many ways, hindering the Israeli government from responding in a definitive way in Gaza in eliminating Hamas, even as it pertained primarily to Rafah here in the last several weeks. And I know that I was there in Israel, met with the prime minister, this was discussed, and I was listening Sunday to a BBC interview with a professor out of Tehran who basically was mocking Israel, saying, well, they can't even take care of that small Gaza Strip. They're nothing. And so that was a perception of weakness. It opened the door for this attack that could end up in a global conflict. It's going to be very interesting to see how Israel responds. They will respond. To the degree that they respond is yet to be seen.
Wow.
Talking to Tony Perkins, by the way, Steve Paisley-Jordahl with us. I failed to introduce you.
That's
Steve,
okay.
Wesley Wildman, Tim, and Ray. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Tony, because you talk to the leaders in Israel. You know them personally. And so let me ask you this question. Do they understand the affinity, I'm sure they do, that American, especially evangelical Christians, have for the nation of Israel and how we're standing with them?
Yes, they do, but they want to see it. I was just in my office just a few minutes ago, was a member of the Knesset, Ohad Tal, who is from the Zionist Party, and he's here. He represents the area of Samaria and Judea, which is the part of the Bible land. I mean, 80% of what we read about in the Bible took place there. That's what they want to give away with this two-state solution, giving that to the Palestinians. So the prime minister, when I met with him, he said, we really need Christians to be more visible in their support for Israel, because they're not seeing it the way they know that it's there. But I'm telling you right now, they're looking for it more than ever. And this is an opportunity for Bible-believing Christians to stand on the Word of God. And that's what I told him. I said, Mr. Prime Minister, we may not agree with everything that you do, but we're not going anywhere because we're people of the book. And we know what Genesis 12 says, those who bless you will be blessed. And we believe that this modern day of this Jewish state is a revival, a reconstitution of the Jewish nation. And so what we're actually doing, Tim, is on May the 19th, and you've signed on to this, you're a part of this, we're going to be releasing this to pastors even today, I think. May 19th, Sunday, May 19th, is going to be Pray For and Stand With Israel Sunday. And so we want to see as many churches as possible across the country taking at least a few minutes. They could do more if they want, but just a few minutes of praying for Israel. And I'm doing this as a result of the request of the prime minister, that he wants to see the churches standing with him. They are asking for our prayers and for our help. So if people would like to find out more about that, just simply text Israel to 67742. It's Israel to 67742, and you can be a part of that effort appreciate AFR and AFA being a part of that, Tim.
Yeah. How do you give that information one more time?
Text Israel to 67742. That'll take you to a link to the website where you can sign a pledge to pray for Israel and find out more about how your church can be a part of it.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Take care. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, keep Mississippi in check for me.
All right, we will.
We're on it.
Right. Hey, Mississippi goes blue, we're all going down.
Oh, okay. That, don't even want to think about
it. Or Louisiana, your home state. All right, thank you.
That's right.
Tony Perkins joining us there. Steve's with us. And Ray, let me ask you this question. We talked a lot about Israel today because relationship that you mentioned, the relationship, the historical relationship that the United States has had for Israel, with Israel. And I want to say this too. I think the more Christians are standing with Israel than Jews.
Oh, I think that's true.
Basically, in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, the Jewish community is quite liberal. We've known this. Way over to the left, deep blue, right? I think the thing that is concerning, is that the right word? Revealing, maybe that's the word that Tony just said, that we need evangelical Christians to speak out now more than ever before. And look, there's been a rise in anti-Semitism in America and around the world. I don't think the October 7th attack caused it. I think it revealed what was already there. Maybe some Christians, we look at what's happened in Gaza, which is awful. The destruction is awful. Okay, we don't have to. War is hell. That's right. Yeah. It is. It's awful. There's nothing good about that. And yet we still have to say Israel has the right not only to defend itself but to respond when attacked. And I just wish more Christians, and may I say, Tim, more pastors would speak out, not just in favor of peace in a general sense, but I wish we had more Christians and more pastors who would say, we stand unequivocally on the side of the Jewish people and on the side of the nation of Israel. In this time of crisis, Israel needs to know who its friends are. And I think, really, the Israelis have no better friends than the evangelical Christian community in America. And so, folks, we need to step up and speak out.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Tony, but I didn't get a chance.
Him go.
You did.
He needs to start answering those negative emails.
Well, I'll ask us here, what do we think, what is Biden, there's been times where Biden said, of course he said on October, I don't know if it was literally the October 8th, but as soon as October 7th happened, immediately came out and said in support of Israel, right. But then his actions have said difference, and then he said he did. What do we think he could do to solidify or prove? I don't think he would.
Biden's created a mess for himself, and the Democrat Party have created a mess for themselves by trying to play both sides of the fence.
Okay.
Now, part of being the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, and the U.S., has always, in a sense, tried to at least verbalize a understanding of the feelings of Arabs and or Muslims in Israel who feel like the Israelis are not treating them fairly. Okay, yeah. Let's put it that way. Now, so an interesting poll was taken 2 or 3 years ago, Ray, and Steve and Wesley. And listeners, and I don't have it here in front of me, but a poll was taken of Arabs who live, and the Arabs are mostly Muslims, probably 80, 90%. You have about 10 to 20% of the Arabs in Israel are Christians, but most of them are Muslims. But a survey was taken, do you want to live in Israel, in a Jewish state, or do you want to live in a Muslim country? And the Muslim Arabs voted that they wanted to live in Israel. Because the quality of life was better.
Right, right.
Quality of life.
Which do you want, poverty or prosperity?
Do you want to live
peace or chaos?
You want to live under Israeli law or you want to live under Sharia law?
Right.
Now, Israeli law, yes, they are not, they're not as necessarily free as U.S. citizens are under our Constitution.
Right.
But that's true of any country in the world. We have more freedoms and liberties than any place in the world, rights.
Hence American exceptionalism.
Exactly, exactly. But still, nonetheless, the Arabs when in Israel would rather live in Israel, despite the fact that they have issues sometimes with the Israeli government. Now, Israel's a Jewish state. It's a official Jewish state. I mean, so they have to protect their identity. And so, and they do that. But they are, the primary thing is that Israel has been under attack because the Iranians, who are Sunni, Shia Muslims, religiously have adopted a hate Israel, hate the Jews mantra, much like Adolf Hitler did.
Sure.
I would say it's a different necessary. Adolf Hitler, he hated the Jews because he felt like they had manipulated the banks to the detriment of the average German citizen. Is that what he said?
That was the excuse.
That's what he said. But there, you know, there's all kind of reasons for hating Jews, anti-Semitism. But the Iranians just hate them for religious reasons. And so, anyway, but we need to stand with Israel. Doesn't mean Israel right or wrong. As Tony said, sometimes we have disagreements. Maybe they don't do this or that right. But in a general sense, they're under siege from enemies around the world. It's a spiritual matter to a large extent, and we, the American Christian community, needs to stand with Israel.
It was the poll you were referring to was 93% polled that Arabs, residents of Jerusalem, preferred Israeli rule over the Palestine Authority.
Palestinian Authority.
Palestinian, yep.
Okay. When was that survey from?
2021. But to your point, though, 93%.
Yeah.
So they rather prefer live in Israel.
They prefer living under Israeli rule. These are Palestinians.
Yes.
In the West Bank, polled Arab of Jerusalem, in East Jerusalem, Palestinian Authority.
I know it's a small amount, but 21% of them also said they would be willing to give up their identity, their identity card or their nationality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right. Anyway, Ray, anything to say on that before we move on to the next topic here?
I'm not surprised. And I just want to say, Tim, it's going to be talking about, we've been talking about praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Israel has a tough decision to make here. A tough decision. Do you not respond at all? I think everybody agrees there's going to be some kind of response. And I saw one article, Tim, that said they're going to hit the nuclear reactors in Iran. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. The problem with that kind of response, it ratchets things up so high. You risk. How do you respond forcefully without plunging the whole region into all-out war? It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see what happens, because sometimes you want to respond, but the best thing to do is to show restraint to lessen the risk of an all-out world war, for example. So we will see what Israel does or doesn't do in the coming days in response or weeks. Hey, I wanted to mention before we move on to the next story, we've got about 15 seats left on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. We're going to see all the sites of our nation's capital. We're going to explore them from a historical and a Christian heritage perspective with Stephen McDowell, of the Providence Foundation. And we're going to have a lot of fun and eat well and a lot of fellowship, too. So we're going to do that in June. We're going to go to a separate trip to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well. So a lot of American history to be explored this June and September on these tours. I just wanted to give you so for all the information, if you want to consider going with us on what I call it a vacation with a purpose, you can go to this website, check out the cost, the itinerary, and everything. But we've got about 15 seats left on our 10 to 15 seats left on our June DC Mount Vernon tour. Just go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com. And all the information is there if you want to go in June or you want to go with us in September. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Yes, sir.
Also, you'll get to taste peanut butter soup.
Duly noted. Virginia peanut butter soup, found amazing, right?
Yes, that's right.
In Williamsburg, you get that. Or Jamestown, area, you get peanut. You ever had peanut butter soup, right?
I never even heard of it. What's it like, Wesley?
I like it. Wesley doesn't like it.
Yeah, it's literally like you took Jif peanut butter and you put it in the microwave for about 2 minutes, and that's
melted it.
You're drinking liquid peanut
butter. Peanut butter. That's what it is.
Butter soup.
I
don't know if it's native to just Virginia or if they got it in other parts of the country. But
that was interesting.
Steve, you ever had peanut butter soup?
No, but I'm looking it up on my New York Times menu app to see if they've got it.
I think. Anyway,
I just remember that being one of the things it was on the menu.
I like it. You didn't care for it, right?
I didn't care for it. I ended up going with a clam chowder, I believe. Clam chowder made the most sense to me between the two after trying the peanut butter.
Yeah.
Well, the closest the New York Times culinary app comes to this is spicy peanut and pumpkin soup.
Nope, not it. But
no, that's not it. But yeah,
that's the closest.
Peanut butter soup. You can sure get it there in Williamsburg.
That's right.
Let's see. All right, what's your next story, Steve?
It's kind of related to the last story we were talking about. You know what's amazing to me is these protesters that are out putting them, you know, chaining themselves to roads and burning.
I used to do that, but I don't know. I got too old for that.
It takes a toll on the body, doesn't it?
I got tired of it. Took up golf instead.
And that takes its own toll.
You know why? It's a different toll.
It's a different toll.
Yeah. Well, anyway, these guys, I just have to have this feeling that if you had asked them on January 6th where the Gaza Strip was, they couldn't have found it if you spotted them a map of Israel.
Right.
But now they're willing to stand in front of traffic for it and, you know, shouting death to Israel, death to the United States. One such activist is a lady, young lady named Riddhi Patel, R-I-D-D-H-I, Riddhi Patel. And she lives in Bakersfield, California. She went to the Bakersfield City Council. She wanted a resolution to call for a ceasefire in Israel and Gaza. And this is what she had to say to the Bakersfield City Council. Cut 9.
Hi there. My name is Riddhi Patel. I'm here to speak in support of the City Council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front has drafted. I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself. And the thing is, though, it's very clear to me as someone who's been an organizer for the past couple of years that none of you care, because you guys don't care about anything happening in Palestine or any other country where oppression occurs, because you don't care about the oppression occurring here. And when the city budget comes up this summer, I know that you guys will vote to increase police funding. And I understand that you guys are all horrible people. And while you guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri starts off this week, I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors. And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you.
Well, I had to cut it off there because the next word.
Cut it off there. I see what you did.
Right? Well, she's.
Oh, you see what you did?
Yeah.
He didn't see what he
well,
did.
Well, yes, I did. But
cut it off there.
Yeah.
Inappropriate, Steve.
She is facing 18 felony counts. After that, she said she threatened to go to their houses and murder them. She is facing 18 felony counts now.
Okay, so tomorrow we'll be covering the Second Amendment. It is much needed.
You know, I think they've got an airtight case on that one. Yeah. That video is pretty clear.
She needs to read How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's not it.
Where was that?
Bakersfield, California.
Yeah, so she
wouldn't. That's a pretty conservative place.
That is.
It's conservative. Fairly conservative, yeah.
Compared to the rest of California.
Yeah, it's in the Central Valley.
We're not going to find an email from her in our inspirational email box.
No.
Inspirational.
Hers is going straight to Tony.
That's right.
I got two words to describe her. Whacked and out.
Or doodle.
Whacked out or whack-a-doodle.
That's
three
words.
Whack-a-doodle, a left-wing whack-a-doodle. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.